I ain't gonna lie, dude. Watching you eat that blizzard is disturbing.
What is it?
Chocolate extreme.
Chocolate extreme.
Yeah. It looked like it was dripping all over your hoodie, dude.
Did it?
We were a Columbia hoodie too, bro. That's like fancy schmancy stuff right there. Respect.
Yeah. It was on sale.
Columbia and Carhartt, man. My boy came.
He's hip.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. All right, here we go.
You're listening to the Nerdy Reads podcast, a Hipster Goblin Media production.
Welcome to the Nerdy Reads podcast. We discuss fantasy, sci-fi, horror, comics, manga. Odds are, if it's nerdy, we're going to cover it. And today is part one of our very first Nerdy Reads book club, where we will be covering the first 18 chapters of A Fate Inked in Blood. And we love just about anything that has to do with Vikings around here. And as my boy Ragnar from the show Vikings says, power is always dangerous. It attracts the worst and it corrupts the best. In this week's book, we have seen power cause people to risk it all. We're going to talk a lot more about that here in just a little bit. There will be a manga madness, some nerdy news, and we will be bringing our favorite Eclipse themed snacks in the New Sub Cafe. We are looking forward to getting into it. I am one of your hosts, Justin. And with me is my good friend and colleague, Robert. What is up, homie?
Justin, what's going on, dude? You bringing up Vikings, the TV show. You actually were the person who introduced me to that show. And I remember when I got into it, I was texting you like daily about it. I was ate up with that show, dude. And this week's book definitely took me back to that. But we'll get more on that later. Right now, I want to introduce the one, the only, my bro Tato Chip himself, Dilly P. What's up?
What's up, fellas? Listen, I'm a big Vikings fan. All right, I love that show a lot. What's so funny, Justin?
I just like the way you go. I don't like the way you said fellas, bro.
My
there's fellas. There's someone else that calls us fellas.
Yeah,
I know. That's why I said it. All right. But look, I'm a big fan of Vikings, but my show, when it comes to like Viking era, it's the Last Kingdom. And I know we've had this conversation before, but I think the Last Kingdom is superior. But
first off, dude, superior is super strong.
Yeah, you came in way too.
You came in too hot. Okay. If you would have said I like it more or anything like that, I'd be like, all right, bro, opinions, you know, it's fine. Like everybody has an opinion. But to say superior is such a stretch because there's no Ragnar in that show, bro. And I don't care, dude. Uthred or whatever is fine.
Uthred.
He's not Ragnar. He's not even remotely as cool as Ragnar, bro. Ragnar is ruthless and is smart and also very likable, dude. You know, when Ragnar's getting ready to die, he said, man, how the piggies are going to squeal when they hear how you treated the old boar. I mean, dude. And then he went to the pit like a boss, bro. And you know what, dude? Hey, you think what you want, you can have your opinion. Superior or strong.
I ain't a little pretentious, Dylan. I'm disappointed in you.
Hey, it's okay to be wrong.
All right, man. Robert, you got a question for us before we get into some of this book stuff we got going on?
I do. So, you know, we're big fans of Norse mythology on this show. In fact, our very first episode of the Nerdy Reads podcast was Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology. And this week, the book is set in a Viking setting with some Norse gods. So I was going to ask you, gentlemen, do you have a favorite Norse god?
Robert, try to put me in a box here. Okay. He said that you can say someone from the MCU like Thor. Okay. Because I'm a Marvel fan doesn't mean I'm going to choose Thor. Okay. Odin's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Odin's the man. All right. I might go with Odin. Even though he's in the MCU, I'm still going to go with Odin.
Odin's your choice.
Like how you built this up like you weren't going to take somebody from the MCU.
I thought he was going to come at me with someone random. I thought he was going to be like, my favorite is Baldur. I was going to be like, bro.
Hey, respect. So I have three that I would say I really like for different reasons. Obviously, it's hard not to like Ratatasker, who's the squirrel who delivers messages to the eagle, to the serpent, and on the great tree. You know, Fenrir is a great character. I really liked Fenrir when we read about him in the book, who's the wolf who ends up killing Odin. But then, you know, dude, it's hard not to like Loki in Norse mythology. I know he's in the MCU too, but the actual Loki, when you read about him, and even in the book that we read, or even in any kind of history, it talks about him. He's the god of mischief. He's always trolling everybody. Somehow they don't get rid of him, knowing that he's always scheming. I just like Loki too.
God of mischief, and he pretty much single-handedly brought about Ragnarok, dude.
That's exactly it, dude.
Way to go, Loki. My favorite's Odin. Like, I know Dylan said Odin, MCU Odin. Dude, Odin, he's just cool. Like, this man sacrificed an eyeball for knowledge, bro. That's true. Then he's got ravens for messengers, his wolves going around bringing him stuff. Like, Loki's a cool shout too, dude. I recommend I respect the Loki shout. One of my favorite stories in that book was Loki turning into the fish to, like, get away from the gods, but they made the net to catch him. Like, I love that story. But yeah, dude, I'm gonna go with Odin, the All Father.
Yeah, Father. I mean, it's a great shout. But hey, really, honestly, you can't go wrong with any of them. They're all pretty cool. I'm looking forward to talking more about them here in just a little bit. But before we take a trip into the New Stuff Cafe, we wanted to get into a couple things that are happening around the book world. Up first, you may recall three episodes back now, we covered the book Starter Villain with our boy Watsini. And since then, I would like to think it's because we covered it here on this show. That book is a finalist for a Hugo Best Novel. And that's not all. Another book that we covered here last year by Shannon Chakraborty is nominated as well in the same exact category, The Adventures of Amina al-Sarifi, which again, we covered last November. If you want to go check out what we had to say about those two books, very excited about that, because these are two phenomenal books that we had a chance to cover. And it's kind of cool that they're both nominated for this award.
Yeah, I love both of those books myself. It's actually, I wish both of the authors could win. I'll probably give the edge to Amina al-Sarifi because, dude, I'm looking forward to book two. That's not to say Starter Villain doesn't deserve the win either, because that book was, I take it back. I can't choose.
I'm with you though. Like, I'm cool either way that this went. I wouldn't be like, oh, dude, that's not, you know, whatever. But in all reality, I give the edge to Amina al-Sarifi, Adventures of Amina al-Sarifi, because come on, pirates, bro. I mean, yeah, it's right up our alley, bro. It's so fantasy. It's unreal. But either way that this would go, I'd be okay with that. For those of us that are, for those that listen to this show may not know what the Hugo Awards are, it's presented annually since 1955. It's awards for science fiction and fantasy writing, and is voted on by members of the World Science Fiction Convention. And so that's a pretty big deal in the book world and in a lot of different things. So, man, what a cool opportunity for both these authors. So looking forward to seeing how that goes. We had a listener of the show, Lauren, reach out to us this past couple weeks ago. It shared that through the Worldcon, you can buy a membership and cast your vote for the Hugo Award finalists this year. She also shared that this is apparently a lifetime membership that gives you a lot of free sci-fi books and short stories. So that's something that's cool if you want to get involved in that. So there you go. Take advantage of that if you want to.
That's awesome. Like, I guess if you have enough money, you can essentially just be like fan vote in the Hugo Award.
There you go, bro. Let's go do that, bro. I guess we would be torn between these two. We can just each get a membership and cast a vote for each one of them.
We'll let Dylan be the tiebreaker. There you go. Amina al-Sarifi or Starter Villain? Pirates or Talking Cats? What you got?
Yeah, they go with pots.
And so if you've been a listener of the show for a while, you know how much we love Legends of Lattes, Bookshops, and Bone Dust. It's awesome that many of you have read these books and have shared with us that you love these stories as well. Well, I have good news for those of you who are collectors out there. Author Travis Baldry announced that he will be releasing both of these books in hardcover on October 28th. And I think for me personally, that's probably going to be a day one purchase.
Oh, 100%, dude. In fact, Veronica is going to a PolyCon in 2 weeks where Travis Baldry will be there. Travis Baldry was on this show, did an interview. You guys can go back and check it out on YouTube. It's one of my favorite episodes we've ever had the pleasure of doing. Friend of the show, maybe he can slide us those hardcovers early. What up, Travis?
It's time for Manga Madness. Hey, this week on Manga Madness, it's brought to you by upcoming show from the Hipster Goblin Media, Anime Tofu. Be looking for that sometime at the end of this month. We will be discussing a lot of things with anime. It's going to be a lot of fun, so check it out. Today we are talking about debut manga, Snowball Earth Volume 1. Yukio was destroyed in battle, and Tetsuo survived in an escape pod. After 8 years in cold sleep, the escape pod finally lands back on Earth. But when Tetsuo emerges, he finds a world in ruins, entirely frozen beneath a blanket of ice and snow. Snowball Earth. What happened to humanity? How did the planet freeze over? And will Tetsuo be able to keep his last promise to Yukio? This story is about 208 pages and will be released April 16th and will run you around $14.99 and is up for pre-order now. You can also visit viz.com and preview the first 22 pages if you are interested in this one. I dig the artwork. It seems really cool. And there is a Robo Bro. So, you know, come on.
Yeah, I actually went to viz.com and checked out Snowball Earth's preview earlier today. And it is really awesome, Dave. Like the little preview they let you read, it had humor in it. I got to know Tetsuo. It kind of reminded me of Neon Genesis Evangelion. Like kids control these mechs and he grew up in this mech. So he's socially awkward. But then the space kaiju attack and his mech is sentient. And yep. He sacrifices himself to save Tetsuo. Tetsuo wakes up from cold sleep and bam, Earth is destroyed. And that's where the preview left me. And I was ready to give Viz $14.99 to know more. So if they do make an anime of this, I'm 100% going to check it out.
I agree with you on the Evangelion comparison. It definitely has that vibe to it. So really encourage you guys to check this one out. It seems like something that could be really, really cool, especially if you're into manga or if you haven't read manga before and you're an anime fan, this might be a good time to jump in. This is volume one. It's just now getting ready to drop. If you're a type of person who likes to get in on things when they are just releasing before the hype train takes complete control of it. So man, check it out. You guys ready to go to the New Stuff Cafe?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Hey, welcome back to the New Stuff Cafe. We will discuss some of today's world's toughest questions. But before we do, Robert, give folks the rundown on what we are doing today.
Well, on a Monday here in Southern Indiana region, we were treated to a solar eclipse. Some of us were close. I think the area I'm in was like 99.4% totality. But some of us, like my dear friend Justin, got to experience that once in a lifetime 100% totality. And that's pretty rad, dude. I actually went outside for it with my coworkers and we all stared up at the sun for like 4 minutes. It was eerie. It was cool. I'm glad I had the experience. And today we're going to try our favorite eclipse themed snacks while Justin shoots us over some eclipse facts. Dylan, what is that?
I love it.
It's my eclipse glasses, bro.
Hey, dude, I like it, prepared. Man.
I love it.
Dylan, do you have to put those on? You have to put those on when you look in the mirror in the morning, baby, so you don't stare too close to the sun.
It was really, really cool, though, seeing the eclipse in 100% totality or whatever. And it made me really start to think about how often I use the word awesome for things that are just fine.
You know? Yeah, for sure, dude.
Like, I'm like, I'm like, oh, this drink is awesome or this chip is awesome or whatever. But then when I was there, the only thing I think is like, this really is actually pretty awesome. Like, it was crazy. And we went to a Renaissance fair that they were having here for it. And so it was kind of cool because there were, and I didn't know that this was such a big deal, but there's like sanctioned like medieval battles that people go and they literally keep score. It's like a boxing thing, but they use medieval weapons and they do different weapon categories and stuff like that. So we were standing by that because my son Oliver's insane about it. And so we're there, we're watching these dudes swing and hit each other with swords and stuff. And they stop for the eclipse. But as soon as the eclipse hits and it's in 100% totality, all these dudes decide to put their helmets on, grab their swords and axes and start swinging on each other. And they're battling during the eclipse. I was like, this is pretty dope, dude.
You know? I love it, dude. That's way better than just walking out of my office at work and looking up at the sky. I wish I was at a Renaissance fair for the eclipse. That's awesome.
Hey, Renaissance fairs are what's up. But yeah, it really was super cool. So what's everybody having for your favorite eclipse snack? Dylan, we'll start with you, bro. Besides your Blizzard brownie battered Blizzard that you've been eating the entire time.
Yeah, that's separate. That's separate. All right, boys. So I went on a little bit of an adventure today. I had to go to 3 different stores to find what I was looking for. So I'm going to start it off with my very first snack that I brought with me today. Just because I needed an excuse to buy some, I went with the Cosmic Brownies. Okay, that's number one. Pack. Yeah, the big pack. I needed an excuse to buy them. So my second choice, which took me a very long time to find, all right, I got Harvest Cheddar Sun Chips. Ooh. To pair with Moon Pie.
Hey.
This, I had to go to 3 different stores to find these. I could not find them anywhere.
Did you find it at Bass Pro Shop?
No, I actually found it at Walmart. So
shocker.
I went to Kroger, didn't see them. I went to Dollar General, didn't see them. And then I finally saw the Walmart and I found them. And then the other thing I brought with me.
And that, a fourth?
Is the Accelerator Rocket Pop beverage. Also paired with the Alani New Cock Stardust beverage.
Ooh.
My man, that is all my snack, my snacks today.
Are you gonna throw them all in a bowl and mix them up and eat it all at the same time, or what's happening here? I'm just joking.
That's not a bad idea, to be honest. I might give her a shot.
Oh, right, Dylan, if you drink both of those energy drinks after having that brownie batter Blizzard and wash it down with a Cosmic Stardust, your heart may stop right here on the show.
Bro, I've already had 2 coffees and an energy drink today.
Oh,
I'm already pretty hyper.
All right. Well, what do you got, Robert?
Well, I asked in the Discord channel, which you can be a part of too at the Nerdy Reads Podcast Discord. Link will be in the show. What is the better Eclipse theme snack, Star Crunch or Cosmic Brownies? And in a landslide, Cosmic Brownies won the vote.
I'm actually kind of surprised by that. Now, I don't eat a lot of those kind of things anymore, but I remember Star Crunch being one of my favorites, dude.
So I actually voted for Star Crunch, so I was a little shocked too. So I have Cosmic Brownie here ready to try. Yeah. And then I also have the Star Crunch.
Nice. But
I like these. When I used to eat stuff like this, I was that guy who had to have them in the fridge, get them a little chilled. So both of these have been chilled. But Dylan and I, great minds think alike, dude, because check it out. I also have a Moon Pie. Dylan, I didn't buy the entire box of Moon Pies. Bass Pro sells these bad boys for 99 cents. They even come with a sticker that says I've been mooned or something like that.
Nice.
I got the banana Moon Pie right here. Ready to go, dude. That's my Eclipse theme snacks.
So I brought, I mean, you guys definitely outdid me. I have one.
Is it Sunkissed Zero? Sunkissed Zero.
Which is one of my favorite beverages on the planet. So it literally is one of my favorites. You guys are eating Moon Pies. I can't imagine anybody really likes Moon Pies. I feel like everybody's just making that up.
Fun fact, I've never actually had one, so this will be new.
Oh, Dylan, you're about to go on a culinary voyage across the 7 seas of flavor, my friend.
Well, while Dylan's opening up his 17 boxes of snacks, going to try those, I thought it'd be kind of fun for us today to talk about eclipse-themed, like, fun facts, superstitions, and conspiracy theories all wrapped up. You all right over there, Robert?
Just Dylan trying to open the sun chips away from his mic and just put his glasses on the whole thing.
Here we go. So today, since we're doing Norse mythology, it's reading through a Viking book. I thought it'd be fun to talk about this first one. In Norse culture, they believe that the eclipse was because the gods put an evil enchanter, Loki, into chains. Loki got revenge by creating wolf-like giants. One of them swallowed the sun, thereby causing an eclipse. Another of the giant wolves chased the moon, trying to eat it.
We are witnessing a food crime here at the Nerdy Reads podcast.
What is?
I got so distracted by what Dylan was doing, I couldn't even focus on your eclipse fact. This man took a moon pie, which many might think is a food crime in and of itself, and put a sun chip on top of it, using the moon pie to eclipse the sun chip, and then he took a bite.
Well, Dylan was the
dude, my man said he's never had a moon pie, and his first bite had a chip on it.
My man, is
heinous.
He's eating it, though, like the whole thing.
Cheers, Dylan.
Cheers. All right, let's see the banana moon pie. There you go. No, thank you. Okay, well, now we're pausing the show because Robert's literally getting up to go and spit out his moon pie.
I'm not going to lie. Once I really got into the moon pie, it's not great.
Let's just say this, dude. That's what I'm saying. I don't believe anyone truly likes moon pies. I think everybody's just making it up. They ate them at their grandparents' house back in the 80s or 90s because that's what everybody had. And now it's just a nostalgia food. I don't think people actually buy them and enjoy them.
It was nasty. It was the nastiest food. And maybe it's because of the banana flavor, dude. They had like chocolate, vanilla, salted caramel. I could have gotten something legit. And I went, oh, I like bananas. I don't like banana moon pies, whatever that was. Oh, no.
I feel like banana flavor is not the same as banana.
No, you're right, dude.
It never is.
That was an interesting bite that I never want to revisit.
Hey, bro, this rocket pop ain't too bad. Tastes like a legit pop. Rocket
pop. What's the name brand of that energy drink?
Accelerator. It's one I've heard of before, but I haven't tried one. This is my first one, and it's actually not too bad. Crack open this cosmic Stardust next.
Now, we've had this on the show before, I believe.
Oh, have we?
We've had Alani. I think I may have had Cosmic Stardust. I remember liking that
maybe
one.
Maybe it was Witch's Brew we had.
Oh, it was Witch's Brew. You're right. You're right.
Did we actually do the Witch's Brew?
Yeah.
I feel like we skipped, but I could be wrong. Could be wrong.
We've done a lot of show episodes.
We've done a lot of things.
We have. We've
drank a lot of beverages.
This ain't too bad either.
Does it remind you of Skittles?
So I'm not up all night. I can get a Skittle vibe from it.
I think with all the sugar you have consumed since you sat down in this recording, I don't think there's any chance of you not being up all night. While Dylan's tearing into the cosmic brownie, I'll save my verdict. Why don't you give us another eclipse?
All right, let's go. All right, so this is a new modern one. So some modern baby blogs were warning pregnant women to stay inside, not eat, not to carry sharp objects, and not to eat cooked food prior to the eclipse. One blog stated that many of the effects could be countered by wearing some sort of metal, such as a safety pin, in order to protect the baby.
What? On what grounds?
Listen, dude, I didn't write the blog. I just found it.
I love the internet, man.
Hey, if it's on the internet, though, we've always talked about this. It must be true.
It must be true.
Dylan, how's that cosmic brownie treating you, bro?
For now, I'll save the best for last.
Best for last, though.
I love how my man's back there in his glasses this whole time. You know he can't see a thing.
Cosmic brownie was fine. I took a bite of it. I haven't had one probably since I was a kid. And I was like, yeah, I remember these. Then I took a bite of the Star Crunch. And that Star Crunch had that crunch to it, dude. I liked the little crisp. It was nice. Honestly, I liked it better than Cosmic Brownie, but I'm not going to hold anyone that thinks Cosmic Brownie's better. With that said, I try to be upbeat and positive here on this show. But why anyone in their right mind would go to the grocery store and go, you know what? I'm going to get some box of Cosmic Brownies when zebra cakes are right there. When Nutty Buddies or whatever they're called are right there. Ain't no way, bro.
Dylan, I think, would disagree with you. But while he's chewing that next bite, let me go ahead and get one more of these fun facts out for you.
He's chewing furiously
because he cannot wait to combat you with this. But here we go. In German mythology, the hot female sun and the cold male moon were married. The sun ruled the day and the sleeping moon ruled the night. Seeking companionship, the moon was drawn to his bride and they came together, thus a solar eclipse.
I dig that.
Yeah,
that's actually cool, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Dylan, go ahead, Vera. Give us your...
He's still chewing.
Go ahead, man.
That's how dry that brown was.
Nah, brother. I took a sun chip. Just calm down.
Dude, I don't know why, but all of a sudden you ticked Dylan off, and all of a sudden he became... Who's the guy that goes, brother, all the
time? Hulk Hogan. He turned into Hulk Hogan.
I thought you were going to say, who in their right mind would go to the store and buy a box of moon pies? But then you decided to come out the cosmic brownie, okay? This cosmic brownie is a culinary delicacy, okay, as you would put it, Robert. These things are amazing, and they made my childhood, okay? There's nothing better than a nice chocolate brownie, okay?
Okay.
So
you know what? I'm going to put the challenge out there. On a New Stuff Cafe in the future, we're going to have a Little Debbie snack off. And we're going to find the king of the Little Debbie snack cakes. And it's not going to be caught. There's no way.
Dude, if a cosmic brownie won that, I'd be very surprised. But there you go. I'm excited. I'm kind of interested to see how this goes.
We'll see.
All right. So here we go. This is a conspiracy theory that we all heard probably a lot about. Many people believe that the total solar eclipse would result in massive human sacrifices or an apocalypse. So now this one came in many forms, but one of the more popular ones was that the Earth would have a lot less people in it. So obviously that didn't happen.
I feel like anytime there's some big event like this, there's always the doomsayers, right? They're going to go around and this is the end times. Remember Y2K?
Yep. Yeah. Well, everybody was saying that this was going to be the Super Bowl for conspiracy theorists. So I think it was. There were a lot of them. I have one more. Now, this one wasn't for this year, but this one I thought was absolutely insane. But in Cambodia in 1995, so this was during one of the other eclipses, instead of screaming and banging during the solar eclipse, what?
Toasty!
Hey.
No.
Dylan on so much sugar has changed into a different person.
Glasses are everything.
Dylan's not even the same guy tonight that he usually is. I love
it. Because what's going on? I can't see anything.
All right, here's the last one. In Cambodia in 1995, instead of people celebrating and screaming during the solar eclipse, soldiers shot into the air to scare the mythic dragon from the sky. It was reported that the only scattered casualties were from the bullets.
Ahem, best one.
I mean, you think 1995, that's really not that long ago.
Dylan wasn't alive yet.
Dang, Dylan. You weren't. Gosh, I keep forgetting that. You're basically an infant. All right, guys. I'm sure that we have a lot more liveliness ahead of us here at the Nerdy Reads podcast tonight. But give us just a moment. We'll be right back. We're going to be discussing A Fate Inked in Blood.
I legitimately had to go spit that moon pie out, dude. Like, it was foul. And it may have been, Dylan, like you said, banana flavor doesn't taste like banana, but...
It doesn't. It never does. The best banana-flavored stuff that isn't actually a banana is Runtz.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%. I mess with Runtz heavy.
Danielle L. Jensen is the USA Today best-selling author of the Malediction series, the Dark Shore series, and the Bridge Kingdom series, as well as the forthcoming A Fate Inked in Blood, which is today's book. She lives in Calgary, Alberta, with her family and guinea pigs. You know, we read a lot of author bios here, and I'm fairly certain that we have never read one where the pet has been the guinea pigs. Now, everybody usually shouts out their dogs or the cats, so this is a first here at the Nerdy Reads podcast, so respect. She is the author of today's book. Robert, go ahead and give us the rundown on what this one's about.
Unhappy in her arranged marriage, Freya spends her days as a fishmonger's wife, but dreams of becoming a warrior. Freya's dreams abruptly become her reality when her husband betrays her to the region's Jarl. Freya finds herself in a fight to death with the Jarl's son when she's forced to reveal her deepest secret. She possesses a drop of the goddess Helen's blood, which makes her the Shield Maiden. It is prophesied that the Shield Maiden would unite the nation of Skyland beneath the one who controls the Shield Maiden's fate. And for those unaware, a Jarl is like the highest rank a Viking warlord can achieve. It like grants them leadership over their territory in the King's Steed.
And this one's tagged fantasy, mythology, magic, and romance. And real quick, we just wanted to note too that today we are discussing part one of this. So the first 18 chapters, and we will be covering part two next week. So you still have a chance to jump in on our book club book with us starting now.
Yeah, definitely. Like Justin said, this is the first episode of an experiment called the Nerdy Reads Book Club. We're going to spend 2 weeks discussing the book. We invite you, the listeners, to read along with us. We post links to the Fable Book Club app, or you can access this via like our social media and our Discord channel. So this is going to be more of a spoiler-filled discussion. If you're at all interested in this book, you may want to kind of skim a little bit because we'll probably get into some stuff. And off the bat, I have the book here in front of me. I dig the cover art. I'm going to go and put this book out because I have a green screen up and it did not like that book cover. But this was the book of the month selection for my household for March. And we don't really do book of the club too much on this show anymore. But my wife loved this book. It won our book club vote. I'm enjoying it so far, dude. Honestly.
I am too. I think that it's been really cool, especially if you are into Norse mythology at all, if you're into Viking stuff at all. I think that this is a good book to kind of dive into. Now, here's something that Robert and I were kind of discussing earlier is that, you know, the world building and stuff, you know, sometimes when you get into fantasy books, it can feel so overwhelming because you're just getting lore dump after lore dump after lore dump because people are building these crazy big worlds of things that are just new and that are unfamiliar to us. But one of the cool things about this is because if you have some knowledge on Viking stuff, even if you've watched a show or a movie, you kind of can jump into this and you understand like maybe what the look of a village is in this. So your imagination can start to run with the story because the world is already just alive for you. At least that's how my experience has been as a person who is a huge fan of the Vikings TV show. We talked a little bit about it earlier. It might be the last time I got that into a show in my life, but jumping into this book has been feel effortless in a lot of ways, because even when they're talking about the great halls, I'm just imagining those halls and it's just been a really cool, again, very cool experience so far. And there's a lot of magic in this too. And so that's an added bonus for me because, you know, there's not at magic all the time in Viking stories. So it's cool to see, you know, gods in action, and it's cool to see skeleton armies and different things like that.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. And I'll echo that it felt effortless to get into this book. And part of it is the author's writing style. I feel like she explains things in an easy to understand manner. If you're not the biggest Norse mythology nerd, you don't have to worry about that. She lays things out and it flows with the story and it's very easy to follow. And the first chapter of the book, it opened up, you're introduced to our protagonist, Freya. She's like stuck in her marriage to her cruel husband, Bragi. And Justin pointed out in our fable discussion, like most arranged marriages are disappointing and this one's no different. But like to the author's credit, I was kind of like, okay, so she's going to not like this dude and something's going to happen. She's going to get separated from him somewhere along the way in the story. That's chapter two. She wastes no time. This story moves at a clip.
Like you said, it does move at a good pace, because the thing about that arranged marriage, I was very interested. It made me kind of dig deep into some history stuff because, you know, a lot of times when you look at the Viking history in general, oftentimes women were considered free women. And Freya would be what I would think would be considered a free woman at that time because of her dad and what her dad did. And her dad was a warrior as well in this story. Actually was pretty close to the Jarl. I guess Top Warriors is what I, at least what I gathered. Did you gather that too?
Yeah.
I got that. And so she would probably have been a free woman. And so I was like, okay, I need to look into this, like kind of how this works. But they still did some of that like this, because, you know, a lot of times, even in the Viking show, if you're a free woman, then you were kind of looked upon as the same as a dude, you know, which was pretty rare for those day and age, because, you know, in England and a lot of European countries, it was very much a lesser than thing, whereas Viking culture was so different. And but they still did have some of these arranged marriages. Sometimes dads would give their daughters away to people for benefit and all that. So that still definitely occurred. And that was just something I found very interesting, is that you see some distinctions between both those things in this story. You see that with Freya, who seems to be just a captive no matter what happens, at least in these first 18 chapters. And you see that there are free women, and like, there's just some different variables there, but I found that to be just kind of interesting. And I love when books do that. I love when you're reading something and it makes you go, okay, I need to dig a little deeper into this thing to see, you know, what, where this is, if this is something that would have happened back then, and definitely would. So I just thought that was cool.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. That's a good fact to bring up. With the Freya and her powers and stuff, it, the way that that was unveiled, like, you kind of knew it was coming. Like, I put in the Fable app on the thing. Like, I wonder what her secret is. Is she one of the children of the gods? And, like, three pages later, yep, there it is. Like, that's how fast the book moves again. But when it's discovered that she's, like, the shield maiden, there's a really cool action scene where she's fighting the son of the Jarl, Bjorn. And the banter between those two while they're fighting, and you can tell he's holding back. It's like, you know, Vragi betrayed Freya to the Jarl and was like, hey, she has this going on. So he kind of set her up to reveal her magic, and she did it. And it was a really, really cool scene when it all went down. I like the way the magic's explained in this. It's concise. It's easy to follow. Sometimes fantasy stories, you know, the magic system can get wordy and convoluted, but it's simple. If you're a children of the god here, you have a tattoo, bam, you have magic. So that's it. That's all the explanation you need. Bjorn definitely has a cool magical ability. He is the child of Tyr, god of war, and he can make an axe appear, a fiery axe, anytime he wants to. And at the end of that second chapter, one of the cool scenes, Freya like grabs that axe and kills Vragi with it. Off he goes. See ya.
One thing I would say I really like about this book too is I like the choice of the gods so far, at least.
Yeah.
So we've had 18 chapters in, and it's kind of cool to see some of these like Helm and you know like Tyr. And for these to be the choices, like, because a lot of times, you know, you read books like this and you look at Norse mythology stuff and Odin is the choice, or Thor, or Loki. Some of these more popular, you know, gods are chosen to be a part of a story, and they're great too. But it is kind of cool to see some of these like lesser known gods, or even like she was even talking about with her power, like it's not from one of the main gods or whatever. And so she's like all the time thinking like, well, how am I a part of this massive story that's going to unite the kingdom? You know, because it's not like my power is this power from some like a Thor or Odin. It's from Lin, you know. And so I think that stuff's kind of cool, because it's just kind of going at it from a different angle than I even expected it to be. And so I actually am enjoying that as well.
I like it too, dude. And, you know, it's also interesting because you kind of brought up in the book club discussion too, like, she's going to, Snorri is essentially forcing Freya to marry him, because it's been prophesied whoever finds the Shield Maiden is going to unite the lands. So he wants to be all powerful. He takes Freya after Vragi dies, and he's like, yep, you belong to me. We're getting married. He's already married. He's got another wife named Ylva, who's like a witch of sorts. But Snorri doesn't even like want Freya for anything other than you're the Shield Maiden. And you brought up that it wasn't all that uncommon for Viking Jarls to have multiple wives, which I thought was interesting, because I thought it was kind of like, Ylva's just okay with this. She's just like, yeah, sure, you need her. And yeah.
We haven't really given anything away. So if you are at this point, you're like, man, maybe this is something I want to do or read, I still am encouraging you to, hey, jump in. So we haven't really given too much away about that yet. A lot of these things that we're talking about right now happen in the first, you know, 3 to 4 chapters, and like Robert said, it moves extremely quick. So definitely jump in. Now, Robert, I have five questions here.
Okay.
I wanted to toss back and forth with you if you're okay with that. And so let me ask you a few questions here, and I encourage our friends, if you're in the book club and you want to jump in on this, jump in the Discord and answer these questions too. But first one I got here is your favorite scene in the first 18 chapters. There have been some good ones, but what is the one, if you had to choose the one that has stood out to you the most, which one is it?
All right. So this is going to be spoiler filled. So if you're at all interested in this book, I'm going to get into some spoilers right here. I'm giving you a heads up. You may want to skip ahead to the next question, bounce off right here. So for me, I'm going to go with, it's basically an entire scene that spans like three chapters. It's like at chapters 8 through 10, and it's where Freya gets married to Snorri. And instead of consummating the marriage, Ylva, Snorri's other wife, performs like a blood oath that ties Freya's life to Snorri's bloodline. And then after this, while Snorri is consummating the marriage with Ylva in place of Freya, Freya sneaks out and the village is attacked. And Freya sneaks away from Ylva, starts picking people off with the arrows, and teams up with Bjorn to burn the enemy ships and force them to retreat to save the villagers. And I like that entire scene, everything that played out there, for multiple reasons. Like, it showed Freya, regardless of her worth as the Shield Maiden, is willing to put herself on the line for strangers just out of kindness for them, really, because they weren't kind to her at all ever since she's been there. But even when it's going through her inner dialogue while this village is being attacked, she's like, no, I got to save these people. And, you know, I want to fight. I want to help. And she owes them nothing. And she just does this. And then the other cool part is, like, you get to see Bjorn in action, man. You get to see him, like, he's not holding back like he was against Freya. And that dude is vicious, man. So that was a great action scene. Really, really good. It drew me in and it kept the pages turning while that was going down.
I would say for me, my favorite is the cave scene. You know, when they fight the
like the path to Helheim, and they fight the Draug.
The Draug. You know, it's funny because I've been doing a mix between the audio and the physical book, and it's kind of, you know, she does it. She's amazing, the lady who's reading this. She does it with an accent, and so when she says Draug, I kept repeating. I'm like, Draug, you know. Like, but that scene was really cool, because it was cool to see skeletal armies and just more magic in this world. I thought was really, really cool. And so that to me was a really cool scene, especially because also, you know, Bjorn comes with a plan. And she's sitting there thinking, like, you fool, what are you even doing? You know, you're antagonizing these Draug, because these Draug can talk. And it wasn't like they were just a skeletal army that were like zombies and they couldn't say anything. I mean, they could talk, and they had a leader, and they had a Jarl themselves. And so he calls them out and they end up winning the battle. But it was cool, because I thought that scene was cool. Cool, because Bjorn believed in Freya more than she believed in herself, and he knew already what she would do to help win that battle. But she was like, why do you put so much faith in me? But it was just kind of a cool scene, I thought.
All right, I agree, dude. Oh, my bad.
No, go right ahead.
I was going to say, dude, I agree. That is a really cool scene in the book. And Introvertly Bookish actually commented in our Fable book club chat that challenge made her briefly think of the Joust challenge in Ready Player One. And that's a great shout. I just wanted to highlight that.
Yeah, dude. All right. Next question. Who do you dislike more, Snorri or Ragi? How do you say his name, dude? I don't know if I was
listening to it. I think Vragi's right, dude.
Vragi. Well, you know, what's the one Jarl that attacked first was the Knut, but it's spelled G-N-U-T. And then when I was listening to it, I was like, what? How's that? But I get it. It's all good. But anyway, yeah. Who do you dislike more between those two characters?
I think the easy answer is Ragi. But by the end of chapter 18, it kind of shifted for me to Snorri. I was like, you kind of see Ragi was gross. And he's only around, you know, at the very beginning of the book. And it's just like, dude, what a piece of trash human. But Snorri is like fanatical. Like, he's doing everything he's doing in the name of the prophecy of the gods. And the book made it clear several times that, like, the children of the gods have no chosen fate. But if something happens, he twists it to his narrative, like, hey, this is what the gods want us to do. Let's go do it. So he has main character syndrome when he's not the main character. And dude, when it's shifted for me, when they're climbing the mountain that I'm not even going to try to say the name of to get to the Hall of the Gods, he sacrificed like three women who are innocent. He dressed them up like Freya and he sends them off to distract the other enemies that are chasing them so they can get to the mountain. And it just kind of showed that Snorri is like a sneaky, calculating dude. And through 18 chapters, I honestly don't think we've seen the full grasp of his evil yet.
Yeah. I think for me, I would agree that Snorri, well, and we didn't get as much of Vragi or however you say his name as you do Snorri. And so I pictured Vragi being, although he was evil, I pictured him being more gross, you know, just this gross, gross, nasty dude, you know,
he's a fishmonger, man.
He's a fishmonger. Exactly. So I just thought of him as more of like a scummy dude. And I was glad when he got the axe to the dome, but Snorri is just, I mean, like you said, he's more evil. It seems as if he just doesn't care about people. And so it's easier to for me, I'm just like, man, hands down him. But Vragi is definitely, he's gross. I mean, you like that little way, Vragi. Okay, anyway. All right, here we go. What do you believe? And we're going to, we'll rapid fire these next three. Okay. What do you believe Freya's second tattoo is all about? Do you have a prediction about this yet? Are you thinking anything with this? Go ahead.
All right, I do rapid fire real quick for everybody. The children of the gods get tattoos. That's how they're marked. That's how you know they're a child of God. And it happens in a pretty horrific manner. So this graphic depiction of Freya getting her tattoo, she's essentially being ripped apart. It's described as being able to see her exposed heart beating against her ribs. But Bjorn also said it was as if she were a prize being warred over and both sides would rather see her destroyed than concede to the other. That made me think, all right, Freya is the child of multiple gods. It's not just healing. But through 18 chapters, this hasn't been confirmed. But just that people warring over her, she has two tattoos. I definitely think there's another god involved. I'm not going to be surprised if in the back half of this book we see another power manifest from her.
I agree. Actually, you know, I've thought that myself. Either A, she's a children of two, or B, and this is more of like just a kind of out there, like, and I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason. There was moments where I thought maybe she was a god herself of some sort.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And unknowing. But yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, she's a god of, or she has the blood of two. I could see that for sure. Okay. Next one. In a movie, who would you cast as Freya and Bjorn?
All right. So a movie star I'd cast as Freya, I'm going to go with Natalie Portman off top. I don't need any other reason, just Natalie Portman. And then for Bjorn, me.
Wow. There you go. I mean, I guess
Dylan agrees. He's over there bobbing his head. He knows what's up.
Hey, bro, I hope one day you get there.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay. Natalie Portman's a good shot. I'm just going to say, for me, here's who I would cast as the dude, for reals, Jason Momoa.
Oh, that's a great shout. Yeah, dude. I was actually going to say, is it Travis Fimmel? Is that the dude who played Ragnarok on Vikings? Yeah. Yeah, I was going to add, my realistic casting is him, because when I think of Vikings, I literally think of that dude. Like, I just, that's who I think of. So,
well, I think
he honest answer is him.
He's a good one too. Jason Momoa, I just keep thinking, like, because of how just every time they talk about Bjorn, he's just this like giant ripped dude.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa is a giant ripped dude. So there you go. All right. Big bold prediction time. What will happen between Freya and Bjorn? Do you have any predictions about what's going to happen at the end of the book? Because next week we'll discover whether or not we're right or wrong. So anything that you are sensing right now that you are predicting is going to happen at the end.
Major spoilers for the end of chapter 18 right here. We see Freya and Bjorn survive a battle with another Jarl, make it to the Hall of the Gods, only for Bjorn's former captor, King Harald is waiting for them. We didn't go over the fact Bjorn was held captive by another Jarl and he was rescued by his father. To me, that's a big deal. I think Bjorn has been charming Freya this entire book, and I honestly believe he's going to betray her at the end of the story. Hand her over to King Harald. If not King Harald, he's going to hand her over to somebody else. I don't think he's loyal to Freya and Snorri.
So I would agree that I don't think he's loyal, but I don't think he's loyal to Snorri.
Sure.
I think with Freya, like maybe he is playing Freya, but my belief is that because of the way that Snorri keeps talking about what the seer saw, which is that she was going to be the one that would unite Skaalin. And now she's got a blood oath basically, you know, with them. And so I believe personally that, that blood oath can probably, as long as it's his blood, which his blood would be Bjorn as well, I believe Bjorn's going to be the dude who unites Skaalin somewhere down the line, and that he will betray Snorri, and Freya and Bjorn will sit there and lead the charge. So that's at least what my prediction is right now. It could be way off.
I think yours is probably going to be closer to what actually happens than my prediction. I just went way out there with it.
One thing we have not talked about, and before we get done off this book discussion, I feel like I just want to mention it. We remember when Freya is getting her tattoo. You were talking about that a little bit earlier, when people get their tattoos and that symbolizes who they are and what powers they have and all that good stuff. You remember when she is there, like only Bjorn sees it. Who else? Was it just
Jova?
Bjorn? Jova. Yep. They see what's going on with her. And she's basically being reverse blood eagled because, you know, the blood eagle, when you look at what that was, I mean, they would literally cut somebody from the back along their spinal cord and then basically open up their rib cage and then pull out their innards. But on this one, it's literally ripping her rib cage out from the front and she's just being ripped apart. She's getting reverse blood eagled in front of everybody. And nobody sees it but the two people. But I was like, bro.
It was graphic, dude. It was graphic in a way I wasn't expecting it to be. Oh. Yeah, it was definitely a gnarly part of the book.
Because that's the first time we see anything that wild. So
yeah.
But anyway, hey, that's part one. If you want to jump in, we encourage you to continue to do that. We're going to talk a lot more about this book next week as well. And again, enjoying this one so far. If romance is not your thing, it's okay. I think that there's enough other stuff in this that's worth your time. Also, our friend Introvertly Bookish posted in our Discord if you want to skip some of the other scenes that maybe you're not a spice person or whatever. And that's okay because I'm not either. And you want to skip certain parts of it. She laid out a little roadmap for us to able to enjoy the story in the way that you want to enjoy it. If you want to skip that stuff, so totally up to you, but encourage you to still pick this book up and check it out and read along with us. But for right now, give us just a few seconds. We'll be right back with some nerdy news.
So kicking off this week's sighting of the week, we got a Komodo dragon hacking up a moray eel. This video it comes from user Nomad Natalist on TikTok. I don't think the original poster of the video. I'm not sure what the original source is, but that is where I got the video from. And like I said, it's just this Komodo dragon hacking up a moray eel. And I
think
a little bit of a deep dive on these moray eels. Because normally when I think of an eel, I think of like an electric eel, which are like the ones that obviously like can electrocute you and everything. But not all eels do that. So this moray eel, these are blue skin eels that actually cover themselves with like mucus that turns their skin like a yellowish color. And they use that to like slip away from their prey. And they can grow up to be like 6 feet tall or 6 feet long. And they also have two sets of jaws for like eating their prey. So like they can like, whenever they eat it, they're almost kind of like sort of like a python, how like their pythons have their teeth like in towards them so like they can latch onto their prey. But these actually have two sets of jaws so they can like suck it in. And there's also been like a lot of scuba divers that have come in contact with moray eels, and they're actually pretty dangerous predators. So I thought it was pretty entertaining watching this Komodo dragon just vomit up moray eel for starting this.
dude, that was epic. Yeah. Right. As he's throwing this thing up, I'm like, dude, this is the biggest eel I've ever seen, dude. It kind of reminded me of all the things that I've ever watched on. I don't know if anybody follows that Nature's Metal on Instagram, but it's that's one of my favorite Instagram accounts. But I mean, you see some absolutely wild things on there, but that's what this kind of reminded me of. Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
Unhinged. Dude, how big is this thing?
So they can, like I said, they can grow up to actually like 6 feet long. I don't know how big that specific one is, but yeah.
That's wild, bro. That's a good one. Hey, go check that out, friends. Join our Discord. Go watch that.
That was a awesome sighting of the week, Dylan. And just a heads up for our viewers, that video does give you a viewer discretion as a vise warning before you watch it.
Yeah. It does. Yeah, it's not a pretty sight.
That's fair.
So going into our nerdy news, the rest of our nerdy news today, I'm going to go over a few quick things, and then I'll go into a couple more little detailed things. But our first thing is a rated R Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Last Ronin movie is in the works currently. And then also this week, a teaser trailer for the Joker 2 movie has been released. And if you don't know what that one is with Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga. If you haven't checked that out, I definitely encourage you to go check it out. And if you haven't seen the original Joker movie, that movie is phenomenal. It has a lot of controversy behind it, but dude, it's a great movie, in my opinion. It's some of the best DC has released, I think. But the rest of our news this week, I'm pretty excited for. The Fallout show is finally here. It was actually moved up. It was supposed to release a little bit later this month or maybe next month. I can't remember the exact day, but it was actually moved up. They released it early, which is something that's very rare these days. A lot of things get delayed, especially since COVID. Like, everything is delay after delay after delay. So, like, whenever this was announced, that was just getting released early. Like, I was very taken by surprise. I managed to watch one of the episodes because it did just come out yesterday on Amazon Prime Video. I managed to watch one of the episodes, and I'm enjoying it so far. All 8 episodes have been released, so you can watch the whole first season.
Oh, wow.
I'm very excited to jump into it. Guys, will you be watching it?
1,000% I'm going to watch this. In fact, I thought this was a week-to-week series, and I messaged Veronica tonight, and I was like, hey, I know we're on the season finale of another show. When we finish it, before we jump into the next season, I need you to watch this Fallout show with me. So she said she would. I will report back next week with my thoughts. We'll probably watch at least one or two by next week's episode.
Yeah, actually, it's me and Maggie talked about the exact same thing because we're always like, hey, let's find a show that we can agree to watch together. And this was a show that both of us are interested in. And Dylan, you're right. I mean, it is crazy for something to be pushed up, especially anything related to Fallout. Come on.
Yeah.
How many times have we all looked forward to a Fallout game and then they're like, this is actually getting pushed back another 6 years or whatever, you know, something crazy. But so it is cool. I mean, the pictures and the screenshots of this look like it's going to be really fun. It might get me to play Fallout 76. You never know.
Nah, they need to put that game back in the vault.
Hey, dude, the show actually got a 9 out of 10 from IGN. So, I mean, IGN's always the best at creditor, like at reviewing stuff like that, but 9 out of 10 is pretty good.
So 9 out of 10 is good. IGN is credible. They gave Last Jedi a 9 out of 10.
My point. Exactly. Anyway, speaking of Star Wars, Star Wars Outlaws, the official gameplay trailer, I think it's the first gameplay trailer. Maybe it's a story trailer. I think it's the story trailer, actually, because there has been gameplay before. But Star Wars Outlaws is a game that has been something like on my radar for quite a while. There's a lot of rumors that have been going around, a lot of things that were exciting, a lot of things I was also a little disappointed about. But I'm a huge Ubisoft fan. Ubisoft is probably one of my favorite developers of all time. I love Assassin's Creed. I love Far Cry. I love Splinter Cell. I love Ghost Recon. Like, there's so many franchises, so many IPs that Ubisoft has come out with that I absolutely love. I love Star Wars. You guys know on the show that I love Star Wars as well. But these are also two brands and franchises and developers that I have unfortunately lost a little bit of trust in over the years, just with some of the things that they've been released. Obviously, Disney taking over Star Wars. I'm not even going to go into that. I know Justin already, he kind of is looking at me, it looks like. So I'm not even going to go into that. Ubisoft, some of their games have kind of flopped for me a little bit. They're really good at like mass, beautiful looking open worlds with just nothing in them. And that's kind of become what they've been known for the past few years. They don't have a whole lot of depth like they used to in their stories and in their games, unfortunately. So I'm a little skeptical. It's my favorite franchise, meets my favorite developer. I'm super excited, but again, like I said, I am super skeptical. But there's also been a lot of rumors about this game. Like originally, you were supposed to like be able to choose if you wanted to be a Jedi or a smuggler or a bounty hunter or different things, like exploring some of like the crime syndicate across the galaxy and Outer Rim. And also, you're supposed to be able. There's rumored that you would be able to create your own character. And so like that had me super excited. I've always wanted a Star Wars game that you can just literally be your own person within Star Wars universe. I think that's a phenomenal idea. But
Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Excited.
I mean, yeah, but exactly. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. It's just something very similar. I wanted like a newer version of that. But I do love the old Knights of the Old Republic games. But
is this one being made by the people that made the last two, the Jedi Survivor? So
those were actually developed by EA. So was in a contract with EA. So they made the Jedi Survivor, the Fallen Order, and they also made the Battlefront remakes. That contract has ended. So Lucasfilm has been partnering with other. Speaking of which, there's also another game on that's kind of been announced that they're working on and developing. It's called Star Wars Eclipse, which is going to be like an interactive movie kind of game, which is going to be made by the same people that make Detroit Become Human and Beyond Two Souls. If you haven't ever played those games are really cool. I enjoy those a lot. But maybe I'll go into more of that other episode. But
on Star Wars Outlaws, that looks like it's being developed by Massive Entertainment, which did Tom Clancy's The Division. I didn't hate that game. I can understand as a super fan like Dylan, open world Star Wars game, it's going to be like Dylan when Kakarot came out for me. He's going to be a kid in a candy shop. It doesn't matter what the quality of the game is. You're going to love it. I'm stoked for you, dude. And if you haven't played them, play those two games Justin was talking about. They are phenomenal video games.
Robert, you know what time it is?
Man, it's time for What's Hot. We here at the Nerdy Reads Podcast can't read everything that comes out, but we try to bring your attention to what's hot or what's new in the book world or something just random out there. But this week, skyrocketing to the top of the New York Times bestseller list, number one, it's Abby Jimenez's new book, Just for the Summer. Justin had a curse, and thanks to a Reddit thread, it's now all over the internet. Every woman he dates goes on to find their soulmate the second they break up. When a woman slides into his DMs with the same problem, they come up with a plan. They'll date each other and break up. Their curses will cancel each other's out, and they'll go on to find the love of their lives. It's a crazy idea, and it just might work. If this sounds like a rom-com, because that's basically what it is, Abby Jimenez is a brilliant author who takes the romantic comedy formulas of movies and puts them to paper. And I've read three of her books, and they're better than 90% of the rom-com movies I've sat through in my life. They're hilarious, lighthearted. Check them out. This one's sitting at 4.55 out of 5 on Goodreads with 22,000 ratings so far. So it's safe to say this one's a hit with the fans. And coming up next on the Nerdy Reads Podcast, you can join us back here for part 2 of our book club as we continue the discussion of A Fate Inked in Blood. Will Justin or I hit our bold predictions? Will the book stick the landing or fizzle out? Tune in for next week's episode to find out.
Hey guys, we had a good episode today. It was a lot of fun. Man, first book club, enjoying this one so far. Hope you are too. Hope you join us, like Robert just said. And we had a good time trying our favorite eclipse-themed snacks, talking about some of the myths and conspiracy theories surrounding the eclipse. Dylan brought the nerdy news. We had a manga madness. We have a lot of cool things coming up, including a new show called Anime Tofu. And there is a show that just released recently and it's starring our very own sweet baby Dylan. It's called Optic Blast Broadcast. They just dropped their first episode this past Tuesday. Encourage you to go and follow that on Facebook, follow them on Instagram, start chatting with them in the Discord. We have a couple of channels in our Hipster Goblin Discord that involve like comic books or X-Men 97. So go in there and get involved in that and join in that fun. And there's a lot of things that we have coming up here on the Nerdy Reads podcast. Robert, where can they find us?
You can find us over on Facebook, Instagram, Goodreads, at the Nerdy Reads podcast. Be sure to check out our Discord to stay caught up with all the things going on with Hipster Goblin Media. And tune in, because you never know, we may let Dylan host an episode one day soon.
That's right. That's right. All right, everybody. You know, we can't leave. We can't leave. It cannot be an episode of the Nerdy Reads podcast. It wouldn't be fitting without some advice from Dylan. Hit us, Dylan.
Listen. Carry a fork with you. If someone tries to rob you, pull it out. Pull it out of your pocket and say, "Thank you, Lord, for this meal I'm about to have," and then charge at them with the fork.
Don't follow that advice, listeners.
Wow. Dude, advice from Dylan's getting out of pocket recently. All right, guys, here at the Nerdy Reads podcast, we enjoy a good story. We believe that your story matters. So be good to each other. Stay nerdy, our friends. Say bye, Dylan.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely unhinged advice.